Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Tommy, you are you're truly an impresario of the introduction.
Well, there you go.
And you've got me in the mood of a spaghetti western right now with that intro. But I am merely, in truth, a troubadour of the tummy, and I am a traveling troubadour of the tummy. And before this show gets past us, remind me, I want to cue everybody into some interesting culinary travels I have coming up next week that I hope people will follow along with. But
I wish you had told me troubadour of the tummy before I did that, because that would have helped out. But it's a little bit late to get this kind of feedback, but that's okay. I'll write it down for next time.
It's always next time.
What was the other one you said before that?
You're an impresario.
I can't use that one. Hey, so what are you going to be doing next week? Where are you traveling? Where's your food journey taking you?
Okay, so there is a mega event that happens every 2 years in Lyon, France, which is the third city of France, but the capital of gastronomy. I mean, you think of France, you think of food. And in France, when people think of food, they think of Lyon. Much like in the U.S., when people think of great food, great restaurants, great food city, they think of New Orleans. And there's the connection. This event is called Bocuse d'Or, and it's considered the World Cup of Cuisine. And if that rings a bell at all, it's because last spring there was a qualifier round for it. So much like the World Cup of sports, of soccer, rugby, what have you, nations have to qualify to get into this. And this is not individual chefs or restaurants or celebrity chefs competing. It's actual nations. So there's Team USA that trains for it, then that has a coach, and goes through all this rigor. There's, you know, Team Italy, Team France, Team Japan, Team China, 24 teams in total from across the world, from all five continents qualified to go to Lyon for the finals, which is next week. And the qualifier round was highly significant because the one hosted here in New Orleans was the first time that it's ever been hosted in North America. It's the first exposure of that in North America. And the Bocuse d'Or folks chose not Las Vegas, not New York, but New Orleans. And they did so because of the reputation as a gastronomic capital, as a place that's sort of on the level of culinary excellence and reputation that that this event represents. That was possibly a one-off thing, possibly something that will continue. We shall see. But I am off to Lyon on Monday at the part, and we'll be there through the week for this competition, and moreover, to follow along with a delegation of New Orleanians who are going over there to Lyon, France, to make the case that New Orleans should be considered on the same level or in the same conversations as Lyon, as Bocuse d'Or, that the culinary scene here is one that people should take note of internationally, you know, not just a great place to eat within the region or within the U.S., but a place that should be on your bucket list for travel, for, you know, culinary adventures, which is a lot of what people travel for these days across the globe. And so there will be a contingent of chefs and of people from the New Orleans and Company, the city's tourism marketing agency, who are leading this delegation over to make that case, to represent, and fingers crossed, to hopefully you know, make the case that New Orleans will have the Bocuse d'Or qualifier round permanently, that the road to Lyon for this high-profile, high-cuisine event should run through New Orleans. And so what's at stake? It's a big deal for the city's culinary reputation, and at a time when a lot of cities are marketing themselves on what you can do in the culinary realm, you know, for travelers, for events, for tourism, for all the people who want to get in a plane and travel with their dining dollars. You know, New Orleans feels like we need to do some things, not just rest on our laurels, but rise to the next level and actually showcase a lot of the innovative and diverse things that are happening in our dining scene, which we know about here, but which might not be obvious to people around the world who still think that it's the only shade of it is gumbo and jambalaya and the Hank Williams song from 70 years ago. And so I'm really excited to go. I'm going to be covering it for Nobla.com, for the Times-Picayune in print, and also all over social media. So look for some daily reports, some daily postcards coming from me as I tackle this international food city overseas, all with my 2 months of Duolingo switched over to French. So wish me luck on that front.
Will we be speaking to you next week from Lyon?
Doubtful. I think the time differences will not be in favor for that.
That's very disappointing.
We'll do a check-in with our we'll have our people talk to your people.
Yeah, maybe you should find a way to make that happen. Even if you're full of wine, we don't care. France is, what, 7 hours ahead of us, I think?
Six. Yeah, six. That could be doable. Well be doable.
That'd put you at 6 p.m. That'd be, well, no, at 3 p.m.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll
weasel out on me, McNulty. I won't be having it. I won't be having it. Wrong country. Hey, you know what you might need on that trip to Lyon is a impresario of whatever it is else you said. You got room for me to make that trip or not?
I think that's something for our back offices to figure out.
Though. Okay. Because I'd like to go. I'll tell you, when you do go to Lyon, try the potatoes because I love those. How do you say them? Lyonese potatoes? How do you say it? Lyonese potatoes?
Yes, this will be just the beginning of my mangled mispronunciations of the magnificent French language. When I bring over my New Orleans reference points and start ordering the Burgundy and asking if they're equivalent to Charter Street, just wait for the international incidents to unfurl from there.
You know what we should do? I'm going to open the lines here. If there's anything that you've been hesitant to order in a restaurant because you don't know how to pronounce it, 504-260-1870, and Ian McNulty will walk you through it. Let me start with my Lyonese or Lyonese potatoes. How would I say that if I'm going to order them? How would I say that?
In France, you'd probably say Lyonnais,
downtown. Well, how would I say it?
Yeah, in Antoine, you got Lyonese potatoes. Yeah, Lyonese potatoes.
Lyonese potatoes. Got it.
Get a little more nasal, Tommy.
All right, it's currently 4:15 in Lyon, France, they tell me right now. So there you go, Ian. I think we can work around that. Let's talk about where you've been eating, where you've been drinking, what you've been writing about.
It's been a whole lot of king cake, frankly. Mm-hmm. I feel like we covered a lot of that last week. I've been sort of pre-gaming for the cold. I'll be out of town next week for the freeze, but it's going to be really cold where I'm going to be. And let's face it, it's been pretty chilly around here too this week. So I look ahead and I take some of those cravings into my restaurant plans. And that's led me to, not to necessarily the big bowls of soup that we've talked about before or the gumbo, but that comfort food quotient of red sauce Italian food. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got their favorite, right? I could list a bunch of them for you right now, from the classics to some sort of backstreet joints. But there's a new one that's been on my list called Pulcinella. It's in New Orleans. It's on St. Bernard Avenue, kind of near where the old Circle Food store, that kind of landmark grocery there. Just between Claiborne and St. Claude Avenue. New place, just opened a couple months ago. It used to be called The Green Room, which is a place you and I had talked about before, because that was a Slavic soul food place. It was a Polish, Eastern European food. And boy, that hit the spot in cold weather. Sadly closed. Now you've got to turn to Instagram and find pop-ups to find your pierogi fix. Look for one called Pola, by the way, P-O-L-A, pierogies, if you're jonesing for a taste of what Green Room used to do. But anyway, this location on St. Bernard Avenue, now called Pulcinella, and it is a casual Italian spot that kind of fits this good needed niche, right? It's not your high-end Italian, like what they're doing at Tana over on Metairie Road. It's not like a sub shop or just a kind of a chicken parm joint. It's somewhere in between. It's a trattoria. It's a nice bar. It's cozy. It's casual. We went on a Monday, and it felt like, hey, it was open on a Monday, so that's good. And it felt like service industry night. You know, you looked around, there's an entire, you know, half the staff of a French Quarter bar out for dinner together. The prices are you know, upper mid range, but then the portions arrive and you realize you're getting at least two meals out of this entree. You know, it's a small menu, starts with really nice cocktails, has a good wine list, has a killer meatball to start things off. A really good pasta dish. It was, I believe it was tagliatelle first time we had it. It was bucatini on the menu this time, but just swirling with a real meaty ragu. And that's what I mean, that warm red sauce, comforting, pass me the bread, damn the carbs, some red wine sloshing around in the glass, and a good kind of dim atmosphere and a little hustle and bustle. And, you know, it's new, but it has sort of a classic old school heart. And interestingly, right upstairs, a related concept, it's a bar. It's called the Original Nightcap. So upstairs, there's a bar with a stage where they do burlesque shows and comedy shows and other things. There's a performer called Bella Blue who's part of the whole operation, the restaurant and the bar upstairs. And so on the right night, you can have Italian food downstairs, glass of wine and a cocktail, then go upstairs, literally walk up the stairs and catch a show like it's, you know, 1958. Yeah, it's the old school sort of red sauce downstairs.
That sounds like an awesome evening.
Right? And I'm a sucker for that, the one block date night, yeah. You know, that concept we talked about. But this is one building, upstairs, downstairs. So it's called Pulcinella. The bar is called Original Nightcap. Went on Monday and definitely on my list to go back to. And, you know, when the cold winds start blowing, that red sauce sticks just right.
Pulcinella, and it is, where is the address?
St. Bernard Avenue between Claiborne and St. Claude, nearest landmark of note, the Circle Food Store.
1300 St. Bernard. You know what Pulcinella means in Italian?
It's got something to do with that, the theater, the absurd theater, the clowns and everything, right?
It does, or it could also mean buffoon or fool.
Ah, there it is.
And I just knew that. I didn't look anything up on a computer or anything. 504-260-1870. If you got any questions or comments about where to eat, drink this weekend, Ian McNulty's here. I want to know where you've been eating, where you've been drinking, where you had your king cake from. I had a king cake over the weekend that was surprisingly minimalist to me, and I'll tell you about it, Ian, when we return. Tommy Tucker, it's our favorite hour of the week, talking, eating, and drinking with Ian McNulty. Back in a flash, WWL. All right, 9:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ian McNulty about eating and drinking. I had a king cake from Oak Point that said on the box that they were award-winning and everything else. I had not really heard of these. I tried it. It was minimalist, I guess, and it's amazing how, and I thought about you, Ian, in a conversation we had, how you know, you can make whatever you want and call it a king cake. A stacked macaroon, somebody sent me a picture of. I don't know if it was you or somebody else. And called that a king cake. I don't know if that's really a king cake or not. This thing I had from Oak Street was minimalist. Have you had one from there or not?
No, I haven't. But I have a thought on that, Tommy. Yes. And I'm glad you brought up the macaron one. So that one, you can actually you see that one on NOLA.com. It was one of our king cake of the day this week. Backstory is the gal who makes that, she's one of countless kind of home-based makers and pop-ups that have gotten into the king cake game. And her handle is Violet Sprinkles, and she makes macarons all year round and then turns them into these variously sized
wait
cakes.
Hang a second, did I add a syllable into that? I didn't realize I said macaroon. It's not a
macaroon. That's acceptable, you know, but
not if you're going to Lyon, it's not acceptable.
Well, okay, here's how it works. If you're saying macaroon, like with two O's and an N to end it, what you're really referring to technically are those coconut candies.
Okay, like you get at Riccardo's.
Exactly. What you and I are talking about are macarons, which are French or French macaroons. Uh-huh. Okay, so they just spell it a little more condensed and pronounce it differently. Not Macron, the former prime minister, but Macron, macaron, excuse me.
Just don't let me sound stupid, Ian, is all I'm trying to avoid. If I say something wrong, please tell me. But back to the Macron king cake.
colloquial use. Yeah, sure. So this gal, Violet Sprinkle, she makes those for king cake season. And actually this year is running an event called King Cake Feast that I was just at yesterday that gathers together like maybe a dozen or more different makers and pop-ups in one place. And, of course, it's New Orleans, so they're doing it at bars. Oak and Ale on Oak Street is where it's been going down for the first couple editions, and then it's moving over to Bayou Beer Garden for the next. And because it's New Orleans, it's not just king cake, but it's like king cake crafts and decor and bling and pop-ups, and there's going to be crawfish, and there was a guy with a work bike that was rigged up to be an oyster bar, and it was a lot of fun. So anyway, look up King Cake Feast. I have a story on it. You can get all the details. But that's that. But my theory, to go back to traditional, non-traditional, the plain king cake that you got versus anything under the sun, anything goes, I think, love or hate them, non-traditional king cakes are still the spirit of Mardi Gras. In just the same way that we can have the Rex Parade, Hermes, these deeply traditional parades, and crews, and with all their social ways, and that is the basis of Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Mackenzie's king cake. That's the plain king cake. That's the traditional king cake that people will hold up as the one and only true king cake. Mm-hmm. But then you find yourself out during Mardi Gras, and here comes Crew de Vue. Mm-hmm. Here comes the crew of Cork. Here comes Barkus, for crying out loud, a dog parade. And you think, well, this is awesome. This is so much fun. I'm having a blast. This is a whole different side of Mardi Gras. And it's okay. And the two can coexist. You can have Rex and Barkus. You can have Bacchus and Barkus. And you can have a plain king cake that is basically a ring of brioche with some sugar on it that you want to dunk in your CDM coffee. And you can have a king cake that is spun with savory ingredients and Japanese influences and a delicate glaze, and your pinky goes up with it, and it's best paired with a cocktail or maybe a third wave $8 coffee. And it's all good under the Mardi Gras sun, I think. You know, as long as the traditions continue, all the little sidelines and curlicues and spirals can just add to the grand pageant of it all. So I'm here for it.
I was at Zapardo's on Saturday and chatted with some people over there about the different flavors of king cake and what they were. Cookie butter, I don't know what the hell that is, but it might be good. Listen to this text. Somebody texted in, where can I get a king cake with little or no white icing and where the cake doesn't taste like a glorified cinnamon roll?
Hido Bakery in Tarrytown,
okay,
on the West Bank.
And what are they going to find there?
They're going to find a traditional king cake that is plain, that is topped only with granulated sugar, but it is still special. It is plain without being special. There is a cinnamon
component
theme running through it, but this is an old school plain king cake, but it actually is delicious. I mean, I don't say those like they're mutually exclusive, but not every plain king cake is going to be really good. Sometimes they're going to be dry. Sometimes they're just like, yeah, okay, that's a glorified cinnamon roll. This is special. It'll taste like king cake. It'll if you're from New Orleans, if you grew up with king cake, it'll hit all those memory buttons from the old days.
So, you know, that brings up the question of, as I was enjoying the king cake last week, that it's kind of is a, it's hard to get away from being a cinnamon cake or coffee cake, a cinnamon roll or coffee cake, right? A king cake, pretty much, kind of?
Well, that depends how far we're going from the tradition. Yeah, I actually had the occasion, and there's a story online right now, NOLA.com. Check out my Instagram if you want a sneak peek at Ian McNulty NOLA, about I got a behind-the-scenes tour, basically, to a king cake making production for Tartine, which is one of my favorite king cakes. Now, Tartine started off making just 7 of these things. Tartine is a small little French-style cafe tucked into a side street off of Broadway by the river uptown, right by Lambeth House. And they've started off making 7. This year, last year, they made 7,000. This year, longer season, they'll make more than that. And they ship them through, they distribute them through the Toast breakfast restaurants. There's one in Gretna, there's one uptown, one in Gentilly now. King Cake Hub, King Cake Drive Through. So they're all over the place. And I got to watch them make them at their dedicated facility, also in Gretna. And it is. I mean, it starts with dough. They're braiding them. They pump in all this cinnamon. In this case, it's just cream cheese cinnamon flavored cream cheese. And then the magic happens. The magic is shaping it into a king cake, covering it with an absurd amount of icing and sugar. And it's purple, green, and gold. And the second you see it, it is not that thing that you can pass by any time, that dried up little Danish or cinnamon roll in the pastry case at the chain. You know, it's Starbucks or something, that thing you just pass by every day and say, temptation, get behind me. It is a king cake, and it becomes attuned to the season, and it must be yours. You must have it in your belly. And it doesn't matter if it's breakfast, lunch break, parade route, or just passing by the kitchen counter again, and you know the knife is in the box. That's the magic of it. It's the cultural import that we put into it, but it has to be good cake. Tartine's a great example of that. You know, there are not all glorified cinnamon rolls shaped into circles and covered with purple, green, and gold are created equal. But, you know, they're all channeling the same idea, which is it's carnival time, it's indulgent, it's fun, it's our tradition. Let's dig in.
All right, somebody's looking for Korean food.
Sure. Korean barbecue is a great thing for this time of year. You're cooking at the table. You're just very often it's an all-you-can-eat kind of situation. If you're over on the West Bank, if you know Hong Kong Market, that great Asian food superstore, in the atrium leading into that is a Korean restaurant. I want to call it K-Town. K-Town Barbecue and Tofu, I believe, is the name of it. Don't let the tofu thing throw you off. A lot of tofu is used in Korean cooking without necessarily being vegetarian, although there are vegetarian things there. That'll be a highly traditional take. And uptown, you've got Coco Barbecue, kind of on the same tips on Magazine Street in the Lower Garden District. And there's one more that was in Metairie that moved to Kenner, a little closer to Williams. Oh, I'm sorry, the name is evading me at the moment. But another good one. It used to be by Clearview, by the Target there. Moved to some smaller digs, but it's worth seeking out off of, on Vets right by Williams.
Somebody texted in and looking for good Indian food, specifically dosas, D-O-S-A?
Yeah, dosa. That's kind of its own realm within Indian cooking. Typically a daytime kind of thing, and a specialty maybe on the weekends. Mm-hmm. There's a restaurant downtown that specializes in it called Namaste, and it's on, I want to say it's on Barone Street and Common. But this is actually a glory age for Indian restaurants around town. Also downtown is Lufu, L-U-F-U. It stands for Let Us Feed You. It's three young guys who started that up. Kind of a multi-regional take on Indian food. It's a lot of dishes that you don't necessarily find at the old familiar ones, the ones that have been around for forever. Aroma is another one. They've just expanded. They have a restaurant kind of under the overpass by the old Charity Hospital near the Superdome. They just opened a second location on Magazine Street right over by, like, Miss Shirley's, Joey K's, Sucre, that area. There's many of them. Another one that's terrific, again, its own specialty niche, is Plume Algiers in the West Bank. And Algiers just outside the point, little mom and pop. Doing dishes that, I mean, I've never seen anywhere else besides Plume, because that's just how deep Indian food goes. And, you know, the chefs are bringing up all these different places, going to different regions and bringing in different dishes for it. And terrific. And then one more. I mean, you want to go upscale, Saffron. It's an upscale, you know, kind of a top 10 New Orleans restaurant, really. Hits it out of the park every time. It is Indian. There's an influence of New Orleans in there, but it is Indian cuisine, upscale presentation and concept, and genuine family restaurant hospitality.
Ian McNulty, a pleasure as always. Safe travels. I hope we get to talk to you from Lyon. We'll see how it works out.
We'll make it happen. And but you can follow until then. Follow the adventures on NOLA.com. I'll be posting every day. And on Instagram, NOLA News, and at Ian McNulty NOLA. And by the time we catch up next week, I hope to be up, a little more up to speed on the Ian versus French adventures to come.
It's going to be fun either way. Thank you, Ian McNulty, as always. Bon voyage, as Bugs Bunny would say. Thank you, sir. Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. We'll get some weekend winners with JR from Taking Vegas. All right, 9:43, 17 till 10. Man, big weekend for football. Got the NFL playoffs. You got the college football championship Monday night. And who better to talk about it than our friend JR with Taking Vegas. How you doing, JR?
I'm doing outstanding, Tommy. Happy Football Friday to you and everybody in Louisiana. And I got to tell you, man, I could not be more pumped up right now. The NFL playoffs are here. There's only a handful of games left for the rest of the season, including the College Football National Championship, which I'm really pumped up for. That one's on Monday. Ohio State, of course, taking on Notre Dame. So, look, I'm going to take care of everyone right now with a huge blowout winner. Guys, here's what you want to do. Text the word WIN to 545454. I'm going to give you the point spread winner of the first game of the NFL playoffs, and this one is being labeled my NFL playoff game of the year. That's the winner of the Chiefs-Texans game. The line is 8.5. I'll let you know whether Kansas City's not only going to win, but will they cover the 8.5? You get it for free when you text the word WIN, that's W-I-N, to the number 545454. And I'm going to put everyone here and let them know that, guys, I'm going 4-0 this weekend. Not only am I going to hit that Texans-Chiefs game that I'm giving you for free when you text the word WIN to 545454, but I've got the winner of the Commanders-Lions, Rams-Eagles, and Ravens-Bills game, and I'm going to give you a chance to be able to get all four of them. So text that word WIN to 545454. Let me get you rolling with a huge, huge winner in the NFL playoffs.
You know, there's an old joke, JR. I know you've heard it of you know, a guy that bets his hunches all weekend long, all season long, and football season's coming to an end. It's like, man, I lost $20,000 betting football. And the guy says, why don't you bet basketball? I says, I don't know anything about basketball. And the point there is, while it's a joke, the point is it's all about, first of all, football season is wrapping up, but that doesn't mean that the gaming action is wrapping up. And it also goes to not betting your hunches. And maybe if you do business with the right people, you don't have to necessarily know a lot about the teams that you're betting on. And going to the emotional aspect of it, maybe it's better if you don't.
No, without question. In fact, there's a reason when you watch these commercials for the sports books, they're telling you to bet your hunches. Yep. I mean, why do you think they're telling you to literally just assume something and put money on it? Why would they do that? Because, look, these sports books have made it is insane the billions upon tens and hundreds of billions of dollars they're raking in. And how about 85? I've said this before, but 85% of that money is on hunches for parlays. It's insanity to me. 5% of the people are making money or less, and all of them are betting straight. The same way I teach my clients to bet is the way that you're able to beat the book if you know what you're doing. You got strategy behind being able to put together and string together a number of winners. So, I mean, look, the voice of reason is huge, and I love that story that you tell. You've said it before, and I couldn't agree more with it. I mean, that you're going out there, you're betting football, which you think you know because you watch every game every week, and there you are losing $20,000. So you may as well go on and do something you know nothing about to try to make your money back. But look, with an expert in your corner who actually understands the game, I've got over 300 years of experience under my roof. I personally have been in this for 30-plus years. So you want to talk about contacts, resources, not only that, but just experience alone puts me in a whole different level. My clientele, and I could show proof of it, we've got guys that are betting regularly $25,000, $50,000 on college basketball. We are making so much money in college hoops right now. It is insane. I mean, conference play is where we clean up. And then the four most profitable days of the year are the NCAA first and second round for the big dance. And I mean, look, one of the things I even told you before we came on is I want to talk about the liquidity of the playoffs. The NFL playoffs are the most liquid market in sports betting. Why? Because everyone's watching it and everyone's betting it. So my clients that normally bet $25,000 or $50,000 can bet $100,000 or more in the NFL playoffs. So that's why I'm telling you, I've done everything that I possibly could to string together what I believe is going to be 4-0 this weekend. Do yourself a favor, at bare minimum, take advantage of the free pick with the Texans Chiefs. Text the word WIN to 545454. Get that one free. And then find out about how you can sign up with us and take advantage of the other three winners. And let's go 4-0 this weekend. Not only get you started, guys, but let me show you a game plan that, if executed properly, can really make you some very serious money this year betting sports.
You know, we talked about this last week, and I was watching coverage over the weekend, and I'm looking for, and I go back to what you said about it's hard to get one thing right in the NFL, and the on-air talent that's pushing parlays for the company that owns a sport that they work for that owns a sports book, right? So it would be it begs
funny.
No, it is funny, and it does beg the imagination that, so wait a minute, so what you're telling me is I'm supposed to go by what you're giving me and make this parlay bet so that the company that you work for can pay out on this parlay? That's what you want me to believe, right?
Correct. Not just that. They'll go on and try to confuse the public. You'll see nine people come out, and five will be on one side, four will be on the other. Mm-hmm. Or if you've got one of the games where a favorite, let's say, is getting a lot of action, and the books are trying to raise the line. It goes from 7.5 to 8 to 8.5 to 9, and it just keeps going up. And they need action on the dog. You'll see 80, 90% of the guys that are prognosticating go ahead and tell everyone, not only do I like the dog, I think they can win this one outright. Ruff, 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 ruff. I mean, it's incredibly funny to me that you see it happening firsthand and people actually listen to these folks. I mean, look, like I said, I eat, breathe, drink, sleep, nothing but football and basketball. This is what we do for a living, okay? I have phenomenal resources in this business. We are hitting right now on our free picks, guys. My free picks, the ones like this one that I'm telling you to go ahead and text the word WIN to 545454. We are documented 66% on my free picks. What do you think my clients are doing? How much money do you think we are raking in for our clientele? And look, we're not going to win every game, right? That's not the name of what I do. I mean, that's why being prepared for the opportunity is the name of the game. Knowing not only that I'm capable of winning and stringing a lot of money together for you on the upside, but also I know how to protect on the downside. So do yourself a favor. Take advantage of that Texans-Chiefs game. Text the word WIN right now to 545454. The game is yours absolutely free, no strings attached, via text message.
For people that don't understand, and I want to go into this a little bit, because they think when a line moves that it means one team or the other is more than likely to win. But actually what that means is, and it goes to balancing the book and the math that's involved, and trying to entice people from betting one side to the other. Talk about that, if you would, JR, in a way that I used to say bookmaking industry, but the way the gambling industry works.
Really, the way the guy that's out there that's pretty green to it and maybe get, you know, a bit intimidated by even stepping into the arena, it could be intimidating if you don't know what you're doing. But first off, the books, they're looking to just get the exact same amount of money on both sides of the game, okay? So when they sit down and they make a point spread, it's not really based on the outcome of the game. It's the perspective of the general public on the outcome of the game, which is why during regular season, teams like the Cowboys or the Steelers, they're always going to have an extra point or two built in. Same thing with the New York Yankees in baseball, and that's because the public is more likely to bet those teams. So they'll always have an extra point, point and a half that you're going to have to earn. You know, it's same thing with the Chiefs or same thing with the Bills. There's always going to be that extra point right now that's built into it just because of the perspective of the public. So at the end of the day, there's mistakes made all over the board. And that's my job to be able to find and point out. And they know that they're going to get beat by some of the sharps out there. But the general public as a whole, they have a tendency not only to lose, but lose big on the obvious games. Like Monday night, the public was so heavy on the Minnesota Vikings, you couldn't give away the LA Rams. You just could. And here you go. All of the prognosticators came out. Everybody was telling you, of course, to bet the Rams, but no one took their advice. And you know, the books cleaned up. So it could be really intimidating if you don't know what you're doing. That's why the line moves, is when action comes in on a particular side. What you need to be able to do if you want to make money at this is be able to identify, is that big, sharp money that's moving the line, or is that general public money that's moving the line. Now, from there, there's a whole lot more to break down, not just use the one indicator. So, you know, and again, that's why having an expert in your corner is really the right way. If you want to do this at a high level, that doesn't mean necessarily come out the gate swinging. Just get a good strategy. Someone that's got patience and discipline and can execute a game plan is very capable of doing business with me at a very high level.
And to be clear, you do not book bets. That's not what you do.
Absolutely, positively not. They call me the bookie assassin, okay? So my job is to take down every book that you sign up with and to do it very swiftly, and we do it in a way that really makes sense based on your bankroll. So there's no, that's why we don't talk about a general strategy on air, because it's different for everyone I talk to. Depending on the amount and your goal, there's so many different strategies that I can implement. So in the beginning, I like to use more of the basic strategy just to build that initial bankroll. And then from there, we can change gears and we can attack this in a different way by taking portions of what you've already made and putting it into something that will earn much faster.
JR's looking to go 4-0 this weekend. Take us out, JR.
All right, well, first off, guys, I'll tell you this much, okay? I absolutely love this weekend, not only what we're going to do in the NFL, but if you love college basketball like I do, we're going to clean up, and I mean clean up. Let's get a free pick out there as well.
All right.
We are now 14-6 on air. Mm-hmm. Did not hit that over last week in the Bills game. This week, they go way over. Bills-Ravens, 51. Go over 51, Ravens-Bills. That's the free pick. But I'm going to tell you now, guys, take advantage of this Chiefs-Houston game. Chiefs-Texans game. I have absolutely zero doubt that I've got this one locked up. It is absolutely free. Along with, I'm going to give you a quick 3-0 on the rest of the NFL this weekend if you're interested in cleaning up. So text the word WIN to 545454. Take advantage of the free pick. Do yourself a favor. Treat yourself. Sign up with us and get involved for next to nothing. Once again, text WIN to 545454. Be safe, have fun, and go out there and make some money.
Thank you, JR. We'll be listening tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock here on WWL.